your prayer and support for our trip to India. We do have the group of us coming up to share, but before we do that, Nick has prepared a presentation. I have no idea how long it is, but I'm sure it will be good. So enjoy.
Saddle up your horses.
So what do you call this? This is express train to Paddington.
Yep.
Here we are, Paddington, London, Paddington.
Marvelous, wonderful, infinite God, author of all that is good, faithful provider and giver of life, source of all power and love. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, refuge of strength to the end. Redeemer and mighty to save, he's the anchor of hope for the souls of men. Gracious, compassionate, merciful God, radiant, holy delight, beautiful Father, victorious.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
that our teacher, they are teaching this on the school, okay, no?
Oh, that's beautiful.
By their home, okay,
wow.
By their hat, okay, no?
Broken heart, you are hope, you are Lord, you are life, you are love that endures. Powerful, constant, unwavering God, shepherd who comes for the lost. Rock of salvation, remind
me.
Thank you.
of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name.
Calling every daughter, calling every son, all who've been adopted through a sacrifice of love. There's no need for you to fear. Your debt has all been cleared. Calling all the downcast, feel like they're alone. Anyone who's longing for a family of their own, God's prepared a place for you. Keep calling you to come and sing, come and dance. The Father's singing over you. Come rejoice and be glad, for God delights in you. Gone off on their own. Anyone who wonders if they're welcome back at home. The God of grace makes all things new. He's calling you to come and sing, come and dance. The Father's singing over you. Come rejoice and be glad.
My name is Shannon McGowan, and I was part of the India team and went afford to go. So thank you for sending us. I need to find this clicker. Is this on? First, I wanted to say thank you, and I'm very excited, thank you, to share with you all that God is doing. It was our great privilege to go on your behalf. So thank you for partnering with us in our mission to India. Through you, God raised up the funds we needed to go. He provided personally for my family and our children to be cared for, and he heard and answered your prayers for us as a team. God faithfully provided for our every need as we began to meet together, plan this trip, gather school supplies for our health, for our safety, until the day we returned home. I also want to say a thank you to the team that went before us. New Covenant sent a team in January of 2010, and although it may seem that this trip did not go as planned, and you may question the significance or purpose of it, I can testify that our sovereign God faithfully used your team to establish and deepen a relationship between New Covenant and Ashish and Soma and Matthew and Krista. It was our great privilege to go this year, to represent you, to represent New Covenant, and to see all that God has accomplished over these past 4 years. So this is slide number one. This is India in a nutshell, as far as word pictures go. This is a picture of a power pole and a confusing mess of wires. It depicts India in a sense. To fully appreciate God's work going on in India through our missionaries, you have to fully understand the depravity of the Indian culture and Hinduism. They go hand in hand. I do not fully understand or grasp the Indian culture or Hinduism, but I've learned a little. I've learned that for over 2,000 years, Hinduism has been a major religion of India and is based on the concept of reincarnation, in which all things living are caught in a cosmic cycle of becoming and perishing. Life is determined by the laws of karma and rebirth and is dependent upon your moral behavior in a previous phase of existence. And they have over 300 million gods and idols they worship. Okay. Terry, could you do slide number 2? These are their idols that have been washed after being put in a river. They wash up and had collected in this spot. I've learned a little bit about the caste system of Hinduism. It's comprised of 5 classes or tiers. This system on an individual level has created a vicious entitlement among those born into the elite upper class caste. And the system likewise has created an oppressive hopelessness among those born into the lower caste. Generally speaking, India is an aggressive society. Every man for himself, climbing the ladder to a better existence for his next life, is steeped in superstition, idol worship, and oppression. So I have a new appreciation. So after visiting India and spending time with Ashish, Soma, Matthew, and Krista, my heart is full with a passionate appreciation for God's sovereign plan for every life he creates, for his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and for our missionaries and the growing ministry they have. So I'm going to give you a full report of our missionaries and their work. This is just page 3. New Covenant's relationship with Matthew and Krista began 8 or 9 years ago through EPIC International. EPIC was a local nonprofit organization founded by Roscoe Brewer in Holly Springs, Georgia. EPIC International stands for Enabling Partners in Church Planning. It was created specifically to support Matthew and Krista's church planning and discipleship ministry in West Bengal, India. About 5 years ago, Brother Ashish and Soma joined them in this ministry. And today, both Matthew and Ashish continue to lead the church planning and discipleship training mission throughout West Bengal. Can you do slide 3, Terry? I want to talk first about Ashish and Soma and their ministries. Brother Ashish has 4 main areas of ministry. He is a church planner. He is a pastor of a church. He and Soma together own and operate a Christian children's school, and they both work alongside Krista and Matthew in the Red Light District of Siliguri. And could you run through slides 4? This is Ashish and his church planners. And number 5, this is his church. And 6, and this is some of the children in one of the classrooms at the school. Today I have the opportunity and privilege to give you a full account of how God has used our New Covenant family to spread his glory and his great fame in India through Ashish and Soma's Christian school. Our partnership with Ashish and Soma has literally transformed the lives of children and families and has established a community. In January of 2010, our New Covenant team met Brother Ashish and visited his small school. Then the community was undeveloped and the school had 1 classroom and less than 30 students. And as a direct result from our visit in 2010, New Covenant began to fully fund Brother Ashish as a church planner, and we purchased more land for the expansion of his school. In 2011, during VBS, we raised $1,500 to build a brick wall around the perimeter of the school. Also that year, we built 2 additional classrooms and a storage shed. A water purifier was purchased and installed to provide clean water for the children. Desks, benches, and fans were bought for the classrooms. And in 2012, during VBS, we raised $1,000. We began providing school lunches for the children while they're at school. And we repaired their well, and we built a wash basin for them. And last year, during VBS, we raised $1,000 to help purchase 4 computers and a printer for the students for their computer and for their computer classes that they would begin as an outreach for the community. Today, there are over 125 students, and we fully fund the school's annual budget. We provide funds to cover the cost of the students' uniforms, their school supplies, their books, their teacher salaries, and their school lunches. I want you to know that God, through New Covenant, is fully funding a Christian school in India for His glory. Okay, slide 7. And then Nick will mention the plans they have to expand the school. The picture over here is a new building that he is hoping to finish. And the other one is a lot of land that sits right next to the school and the church property. Okay, so can you go to slide 8? This is Matthew and Krista and their ministry team, really, sitting at dinner is us along with their American missionaries and Krista, Matthew, and their daughter, Liana. And could you show slide 9? And this is Katie Moberly, Jennifer's daughter, and Shay and Megan, who are also from America. They serve full-time as missionaries there. Katie will be returning at the end of this month, but she's been there since January. Matthew has been a church planter for years, but the rest of the ministries that I'm going to talk about are fairly young, within the past 1 to 2 years. They also run a small homeschool ministry for the children of local missionary families with Miss Megan in that picture, and they have their daughter there, Liana. And they have plans to add another teacher in kindergarten class this year to that school. Can you do slide 10? Together, Matthew and Krista own and operate Samaria's Hope Children's Home. They currently have 9 children, 2 full-time caregivers, a housekeeper, and a driver. The 9 children they have in the home are from Calpara. Their moms are working women in the red light district, and these women have made a very difficult and brave choice to give their children a safe, loving, and nurturing home by bringing them to Krista. In the near future, and as the Lord provides, Krista states, ideally she would like to have 5 cottages with 10 children in each, and so far Ashish has gotten the paperwork to begin the process of obtaining a license for this. So this is the home. It looks majestic in a way. It's not. There's 2 levels. Krista and her missionary team live on the top level, and the children's home is on the first floor, the ground level. And these are 2 of the boys, Smear and Jameer, as they were playing outside. These 9 children, there are 5 that are school age, and then 4 that are too young yet to go. So slide 11, Terry. And on March 31st, we had the privilege of being there for the inauguration of Samaria's Hope Children's Samaria's Hope School in Calpara with Miss Ruby and Miss Shay and 20 new students. This is the first school to be opened in Calpara. This is the first school for the boys of for the boys and girls of the working mothers. This is the first time these children have had the opportunity to learn to read and write. This is the first school to educate these children. These are the children, and God in His sovereignty has ordained this as the time. So I'm excited for these children. For Ms. Ruby and Ms. Shay, the children are eager to learn, especially the youth, as I had the opportunity to witness them sitting alongside the 3, 4, and 5-year-old, learning to read and write the ABCs and sound out letters. God is mercifully drawing them to Himself in this one-room Christian schoolhouse. Okay, slide 12. And before I go on, I want you to know that this ministry is rapidly growing, and there's a great need for Native converts, for Indian Christian believers to take to participate in the ministries that Krista and Matthew have. It is best for the Natives to be involved, being a convert of an Indian culture and a nature. So it is amazing. These children literally have not had an opportunity for school, for an education, until now, that these children that live in Kalpara. Kalpara is 7 square miles, so as you can imagine, there's many that have not had that opportunity. And aside from the school, they also minister to the women and children of Kalpara in a few different ways on a regular basis. They have an established Bible club for children that meets 3 times a week. And since January, Katie has been taking the teenage girls out to mentor them separately and to begin teaching them vocational skills like knitting and tailoring. And just last week, they added Bakash. He was one of the translators that we've seen. He's a Native Christian young man to their mission team that will begin mentoring the teenage boys. They usually have between 25 and 40 children show up every time they meet. And slide 13. And for the working woman, they have an established a prayer group available for them to join once a week, and a feeding program Monday through Friday for the women that are HIV positive and no longer able to work, and medical clinics twice a week for anyone that needs to see a doctor. This morning, I have shared really a G-rated version of Krista and Matthew's ministries in Kalpara. I mentioned the working woman and her children, but I want you to better understand the reality of their life. 90% of the women in Kalpara are there because they were bought, sold, stolen, taken, and betrayed, often from someone within their own families, like husbands or brothers or someone they knew and trusted. These women are slaves, and 90% of them were forced into this line of work. They are not there by choice. Along with this reality, they are also among the lowest class, and culturally, this prohibits them from ever leaving this area. Theirs is a reality of hopeless living hell. But God, and I love it in the Bible when it says, but God, because it affirms His sovereignty, His faithfulness, and His character. But God is at work in Kalpara. He is faithfully handpicking those whom He has called, and He is transforming lives through the good news of Jesus Christ. Never in my life have I been so aware of how precious the gift of salvation is, because for these women and children, it will literally be their only hope in life. In hindsight, I see some of the purposes God had for me in going to India. I can and will now testify of His work in Kalpara, and promote Matthew and Krista's ministry there and raise awareness for their vital need for prayer and financial support to expand their ministry for the women and children in Kalpara. In closing, I would like to share a few of their testimonies from the missionaries. Katie Moberly states about the girls' teen mentoring program that she goes to and leads 3 times a week. Since January, the number of girls that were coming to discipleship groups have literally doubled in size. We have anywhere from 10 to 12 on a regular basis, ages 12 to 18. This coming week, we are going to start teaching them knitting, and we are looking for someone to come teach them tailoring through a 6-month training program. And Krista writes about the women's prayer meetings. A few months ago, an older madam accepted Christ. The madam heard about the prayer meeting and started attending regularly. The women really loved the prayer. I feel like the Lord just wraps His arms around them in a more tangible way when they come here. They definitely feel His presence, which is something new for them since they've been worshiping idols who can do nothing for them. I wondered how God would work in this situation. Well, He has worked. The madam had 5 or 6 girls working for her and now has released them and is no longer requiring them to work. How amazing is that? But these women are broken and they feel there is no place for them. They cannot return home to their families because that would bring shame to their families. It is the most horrible part that although they were not at fault for what happened to them, no one will forgive them for what they were forced to do, except Jesus, who lovingly forgives us for all and knows that they were not responsible for their predicament. If we can provide them with skills and counseling, there will be a real possibility that they can be set free emotionally and spiritually, so they will not be tempted to return to the bonds from which they have been released. Slide 14. Kalpara is not the red light district of India. It is one of hundreds. There are 28 states in India, and each state is broken down into districts, much like our counties. There's a total of 672 districts in the country of India, and Krista has stated that every district has a red light area. Kalpara is just one of possibly 19 in the state of West Bengal. But God is at work, and He is raising up a small army of believers through these ministries. Praise God. We have been given this awesome opportunity and privilege to partner with them in India to spread the hope of Jesus Christ and to train disciples. Thank you.
All I can say is, wow. I know at work, I'm a technician, and I work with the analysts, and we could have a joke at work when thank you. I'm not that much of a technician, I guess. Rob bailed me out. We have a kind of a standing joke that when we upgrade a product or whatever our software does, that the technicians do the smoke testing. You know, we log in, make sure you can log in, but the applications folks do all the detail work. And Shannon, you blew all them away. That was amazing. I don't have my notes. Oh, well, I don't need them. Thank you. That's not it. It was here. It's okay. I had a couple of quotes I wanted to read from a book, but anyway, I remember back about 5 years ago when we met with Roscoe, or six. Anyway, oh, thank you. That's it, thank you. Connie's always bailing me out. A few years ago, as I first became an elder at New Covenant, I had the privilege, first Rob told us about going to meetings, to an EPIC meeting, and, told us about Roscoe Brewer, and so it piqued my interest, but I started going to Guatemala and whatnot, and then about a few months or even a year later, we had a Saturday meeting. Roscoe came and met with us up at the yellow building up there, and so it was Harry Davis and Lanier and Rob and myself, and Roscoe threw out these words like Bengali coalition, and I was taken back because he talked about the structure. What the Bengali coalition was several churches, and his vision was to bring churches together to support EPIC, you know, and I didn't even know what it stood for until Shannon told us about, you know, the church planters. And I thought, well, that, you know, that's a pretty amazing way to provide a ministry for us to help. But still, I kind of thought, how can we, you know, how are we going to help? How are we really going to be a part of that? It seemed huge. When you say the word coalition and Bengali, and I knew nothing about India at the time. If you think about India a little bit, Siliguri, where we went, if you look at a map of India, you can't even find Siliguri on it unless you, like, you're on Google and you type in Siliguri, and then you still have to drill down to get to it, like the map she showed you. And that's kind of why I did that in the video where I showed flying into this Bagdogra airport, and then, you know, it was a quick ride to Siliguri. But Siliguri has 10 million people. 10 million, and it's not even a major, you know, place in India as far as the maps go. There's 1.3 billion people in India. And God created every one of those, amen? And he allowed us to be a part of ministering. Anyway, maybe this will settle me down a little bit. John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And last fall, when I'm so thankful for Steve Saylor having the vision to go, because I have to admit, at first, I thought I wanted to go because I really do love adventure. I know Katie Moberly asked me, she said, "Mr. Richardson, I didn't know you like to travel and do all these things." And I said, "Well, you probably just thought I was a crusty old man." But I do. I love adventure. And I have to admit, I didn't understand why God was calling me to go. And I even questioned it at some of our early meetings. I had read an article about short-term mission trips and how Americans spend billions of dollars on short-term mission trips. And when we could minister right here at home. You know, we could go into the city and work with inner-city kids or whatever. And we should do those things. We should do that. But we should have a global thinking, too, about the whole world. Because Jesus said and commands us in Matthew to go into the world and make disciples. Well, as I question, you know, but I still was on the road to go. Even at the meetings, I brought out to Steve and Rob, and Dan was there at the time, and Shannon. I said, you know, I just don't know. What can I do to be effective? And then we talked about the teaching. We taught John MacArthur's Fundamentals of Faith. And I looked at that, and I've worked with translators before, and I thought, wow, this is going to be interesting. And that's one reason in the video. I hoped you saw how well, I mean, it seemed clumsy a little bit, but the men and the ladies that were in that room, there were about 30 church planters in the room, and they responded. I don't know if you caught on when Steve was talking, and he shared a verse, 2 Peter, and Ashish was conveying that. It was very important to Ashish to make sure they were writing it down, and they could see English and read it and understand it, but they couldn't understand speaking it because we're going so fast. But a lot of them, they could just see it. Like, I put an illustration on the board about, you've seen the one about, you know, the Romans Road, where you draw like a chasm and you put the cross in the middle and the scripture verses. And I really believe that they understood, you know, those verses. But just the fact that I could go with Steve and Shannon and be able to stand in front of 30 people and not speak their language that well, it was amazing how well it worked, how good God is. And I have one little story to tell you, and I don't want to, Shannon, she covered so much in her talk, but Monday night, you saw where we went to Krista and Matthew, it was called Krista Matthews, right? Isn't that what they call them, Krista Matthew? We went to Krista Matthew's house and had dinner, and Bikash, the young gentleman that was interpreting for myself and for Steve McGowan, he was there, and he works with them in various capacities on the field. He lives there in India. And I said, "Are you going to be at the our training tomorrow?" And he said, "What training?" And I said, "Well, we're going to have like 3 days of training, you know, and 2.5 days." And he said, "No, I didn't know anything about it." And so this is how awesome God is. He came, and he not only came, he made copies of all our handouts. Sorry. And Ashish was going through a really difficult time in his family. And Bikash was there. I mean, God used him to bail, you know, to really help out Ashish during this difficult time. And wonderful guy. You saw me ride his motorcycle. And Steve did too, without a helmet. Don't pay attention to that, young people. anyway, I just wanted to bring that out about how amazing God is, that He provided Bikash because of the situation, and He did a fabulous job. And when Steve McGowan was teaching, he was teaching on study methods of the Bible, and he was talking about meditation or meditating on it, and he was talking about memorizing the Word and just, you know, reading the Word every day. And it came to me that one of the ways that speaks to me about learning the Word of God is to sing it. And so after Steve was done, I went up to Ashish and I said, Ashish, do you think that I could teach these guys a song? And he said, oh, yeah, that, you know, it'd be fine. So be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you. And they made it their own. They you know, they did the echoes, and I mean, and as after we were done with our meetings, we would just be trying to talk. I mean, I didn't communicate very well. But anyway, after we sang that song, as we'd part, one of them would say, "Be bold." So, whew. I'm just so thankful for, I wanted to say this to you all. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for your prayers. None of us, you know, as far as I know, got sick too bad. I was homesick. I missed my bride. But I got to sit in the hallway at the hotel with my little tablet and Skype with Connie. And one morning, it was like 7 in the morning over there, and it was in the evening. They're 9.5 hours ahead, so I'm Skyping with Connie, and this little Indian lady comes out of her hotel room and just sort of staring at me, because I'm sorry, but I was singing to my grandkids, you know, "You're a Grand Old Flag." I was singing them goodnight songs. So technology is just amazing. I just hope you got a feel in just watching and hearing Shannon too about how the school has grown. I mean, many of you may not have been in the early stages of us helping and supporting, but God has just used the body here at New Covenant. And just think about being the Bengali Coalition. I mean, we are kind of right now the Bengali Coalition. There were other churches, and I think there's still one Sherman Church or whatever in Texas that's involved. But we're a part of the Bengali Coalition. And I hope you grab on to that. It's just fantastic how God has been able to use us. And when the first team got really sick, and I think after that it took a while, not many of us probably wanted to go back. And so, but God is so gracious, you know, that He raised up the team and had Steve's heart to lead us to go again. What I'd like to show you, and moving forward, is the kind of the visions that Ashish has for his ministry, for the ministry of God in Siliguri. And what we got to do, which was just amazing, and I don't know if this is on the videos that I'm going to show you in a second, but we got to stand in the church ground empty ground or the lot where he would like to buy behind the church, and it's adjacent to the school. We got to pray over it, Shannon and Steve and and Ashish and I. And I don't know if anybody else there. Do you remember? So we got to stand there and pray, you know, for this. And he expressed just how important it is. What he does is he has to drive. And he didn't. I don't know if you know. Do you know how far he has to drive? Ashish drives to where the school and the church are. And Soma, he almost says, Soma, she's the main one that runs the school. So he would like to live, you know, close to the church and the school to minister to the community. And I think maybe Shannon or Rob might have said this even in his prayer, that God is growing the people around there to want to live by this school because they, you know, they see the value in it, having an education for their children. So it's an amazing thing. And so if you run, this is a couple minute video. These are the three the major things that he'd like to do.
This is Ashish's and someone's house where they want to build and move their living in a rented house right now. You don't have to move over here. Close to the school, as you can see, the school is right beside it. And that way they can be closer to things, keep an eye on things. You see this wall here, and this, all the way over to the far post, all the way across to the path, back up the road. The lot that I just showed is a lot he's praying about purchasing so that the kids will have more room, so they can house more kids in school. So we're walking around. This is just another school building here. And notice that's the, again, the rebuilt wall there. Everybody, this is the inside of the school. It's going to be a walking tour here. There's the restrooms right there. Here's one of the walls we paid for, as well as an irrigation system right there. Here's part of the irrigation system.
Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to videotape this just to show people back home.
Yeah.
Really, your school and what it's like. And hello. Now you're on the video.
Thanks, Derek. So we were standing right in the middle of that lot. I'd say, what, 3/4 of an acre? Something like that. And then I don't know if you caught on the video, but I showed a picture of the. We were walking across this bamboo bridge, and we helped with that part. Then we helped kind of fund that. Well, as we were walking across, what happened was Ashish picked us up at the hotel on Sunday morning, and then we drove maybe 10 minutes or so. It wasn't too far from where we were staying. And then he parked the car at this a lot or a house, and then we got out and walked maybe half a mile or. But anyway, just before the church, we walked across that bridge, and he turned around, and he just had this biggest grin, and he said, "This is the River Jordan, a bridge over the River Jordan." And so it was kind of neat to, you know, we'd seen pictures of it. He emailed us as they were working on it, completing it. And so he talked about how important that is, because the river is not wide there, but it's the bridge just helps people to get, you know, toward the school and the churches. So... And I guess maybe the county or the, what'd you say, Shannon, the district? Maybe the government's not real quick to respond in building, if you get my drift. So they did that on their own. And so he said eventually they'll come and make a permanent, you know, like a cement structure for a bridge. But anyway, I just thought that was neat. Building a bridge so people come to your church, what a novel thought that was. And we got to help be a part of that even. So what Ashish's plans are is, you saw right behind the church, they build like this all the time over there. What they do is they build for however much money they have. And when they don't have any more money, they stop building. So that's why you see the rebar standing up out of those concrete pillars, you know. And so here we'd borrow all the money, right, and we'd finish the structure and then be in great debt. So they built this the pillars and the steps, and they need the funds to finish the first part of the first floor so that they can live there. And that's his first goal. He wants to live. And I really think some of that's about Soma, too, being able to not have to stress over, you know, traveling or whatever. And they want to minister to the people in the community while having to travel there so much. And so that's number one. And then number two is he wants to purchase the land, that 3/4 of an acre that we got to pray over. And then there's a third thing, and he wants to build a second story onto that dwelling where their house will be, and he wants to make that a vocational training center so he can bring the church planters in there to be able to minister to them. And I don't know if you caught it on the video, but where we were teaching at was actually a Catholic facility, and it was called Loyola. And I forgot the rest of it already, but it was they had the rooms, they bring people in, and what I wanted you to hear is that I didn't even realize this till we were on the field, but New Covenant, and through God's mercy and grace, we provided even the money, the funds for the church planters to come and attend the training. and put them up there. So I didn't even realize we were doing that. I was just blown away by that. And one of the persons I talked to traveled 12 hours by bus to come to that training. And they were so hungry. I just wish you could have seen more from the front, maybe, as they were sitting there and they're writing away. You know, we gave them some handouts. We didn't know quite how the training was going to go, so we didn't have handouts for everything. But they were writing away, and there was a couple of them that kind of hogged the conversation. You know, kind of like here. That's what we do. Some people just love to talk, right? So Ashish, what I caught was, as Ashish was translating, he was also admonishing his, you know, the people out in the audience, you know, to, hey, can you give this other guy a chance to talk, you know? And I didn't understand that until somebody explained it to me. That's why sometimes it took a little bit longer for him, you know. But people are people wherever you go, right? So thank you for listening. I appreciate your prayers and I want to go back next year, or whenever we go. God bless you.
I got it. Morning. My name is Steve McGowan, and one of those who was blessed enough to go to India, and what a blessing it truly was. As the other two have rightly done so, I want to give you thanks as well from the McGowans. Thanks to the church body. Obviously, you're the ones that sent us out, and we are a part of you. And so when we went, we knew that you were going to, and so thank you for that. Thank you for your diligent work, the work of prayer, for indeed we felt it. We were there, and we saw it in action. And so thank you for that. Thank you for the donors, those of you who financially sent us as well. Everything from probiotics to luggage to money to all these things, God brought them all together to send us out the door. I also want to thank those who care for my kids, sending our kids. What a blessing it is to have people that we know and love take care of our own. You are a family. And we consider you that way. And so those of you, this is on a personal note, obviously, but thank you to those families who indeed cared for our kids. So thank you. Moving forward, words can't express what we want to thank Christ for. For he indeed allowed us to see himself at work. And that's truly a blessing. I think so often I personally take that for granted, the fact that he allows me to see him at work, and I forget that there are men and women who have worked all their life and not seen what I've seen in 43 years of my life. And so that is truly the grace in the hand of God. And so I also want to thank those who I went with, Shannon, obviously, my lovely wife, and Nick and Steve, the video guru. Thank you, Nick, for putting all that together. And thank you, Steve, for leading. And thank you, Shannon, for putting up with me. And so I have a lot of stories, and I won't go through all of them, obviously. But you've heard a lot of specifics so far. I really want to share more of what I feel led on a personal level that he allowed me to see. But first, I'll just touch on a couple of stories, and then I'll move on. We saw a lot of really funny, a lot of neat things. From our smiling receptionist, I mean, it was ridiculous. The amount of times we saw him, and never saw him without a smile until it's time for a picture. Go figure, right? The time we take a picture, he looked like a convict, so go figure. We saw bats that looked like large birds. I remember being out in the field, Shannon would be like, look at those birds. And I'm like, those aren't birds, those are bats. And so they didn't flutter like they did here. They were, you know, really big. And so riding on the back of a motorcycle in India, what an experience. As Nick said, without a helmet, my only wish now is that I had a GoPro so I could have put it on there and just watched it over and over. Even the school buses were something to talk about because they look like, I don't know if you've seen like the old cartoons with a dog catcher. You know, they got this little cart like with a cage. Well, that's what they rode to school in. And so, also, talking about roads, you know, it's funny because you go from the United States to London right to India, and you take for granted things like lines in the road, stop signs. people staying on their right side of the road. Literally, we would be on one side and then the other and then the other and then the other. All the while, people... And the amount of times that a horn honked, I think if I would live 10 lives in the United States, I wouldn't hear it as much as I did in one trip to India. I'm not kidding. That's not hyperbole or an exaggeration. That's the truth. Because it seemed like everybody had something to say through the horn. All right. So that was awesome. Even to the point, we saw a lot of funny things just along the way. One was we were up in the Himalayas at this Tibetan refugee. You know, the Chinese have driven them out, basically persecuting them. So anyway, we're up in the Himalayas, and I'm thinking, I will see absolutely nothing American up here, except for the basketball goals. And when we get up on the basketball goals, and the name of the Himalayan team is what? It's the Yaks. So I just thought that was pretty cute and funny. So, yeah, I got a picture of it. Love it. And then I'll share two more quick ones. One, I thought that, Becky, I thought you were going to be a wealthy lady. Because, you know, you get traveler's insurance, you have a life insurance, and I thought, the amount of times that Steve Saylor almost got hit by buses and cars in London, I thought, you know, you always kind of wonder, will I ever be wealthy? And I thought, today's your day, Becky. So that was pretty, I knew it. You know, I was hand on the phone, ready to call. That, and then the monkeys, I won't go into the monkeys. I won't go into the full story, but needless to say, I do not like those monkeys. As a matter of fact, they were harassing us to the point where, you know, we had to fend them off. And I couldn't help but thinking, because in India, those are relatives or people or, you know, reincarnation. And so, but I kept thinking, you know, I know a few folks back at home who could help with this monkey population today. And so it would be a problem no more. But obviously we couldn't do that. A couple of things that really stuck out in my mind. I've just got five, and I'll go through them relatively quickly. Light and dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave. I have. We used to take kids on trips, and what they would do, we'd all get in this, you know, deep part of the earth in the cave, and all right, everybody turn off your light, and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, total darkness. But when one light's on, you can see it. So, and when there's two and three, and you're attracted to the light. And so what that really said to me was, these church planners that we send out there are the light in that community. They have a light. And they bring the light with them. And so when we financially back them, when we pray for them, they bring forth the light so that others indeed can see. And so without that light, who will tell them? And so I just looked at a verse, John 1:4-5. The word of the Lord, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the second thing I thought about when I was over there were worthy investments. You know, so often, you know, we're worried about our portfolio and what's in there and what isn't, what our net worth is. And I couldn't help but think Harry Davis was one who invested well, because it's Laurel Basso, I think you're around here somewhere. There you go. She had a friend tell her one time, two things on this earth that'll last, the Word of God and the souls of men. And that's why I've seen many people in this body, very body, invest in, and I've seen those to be very worthy investments, because those truly pay dividends, not just for now, but for later. And real quick note about money and worthy investments. I know a lot of us like to get a good value for our dollar. India is a very good value for your dollar, and let me tell you why. Because our pennies are their dollars. And so when we're down there and we get to see what our pennies have bought them, it's very humbling, because their money is spread out. And what a blessing it is for us as a body to have Ashish, Kristen, Matthew to send to, because we know, we saw it, we were there. They give us annual reports that money is being spent very wisely. And so often we want to know, is that money being well spent? I can tell you now, it is. It is. And so Why do I say that these are wise investments? Because we saw the master at work. He's working at the school in Calpara for children who have no hope. I don't think you understand no hope. Because no hope to us is, gosh, maybe I won't eat dinner tonight. No hope for them is, this is it. This is my lot in life in Hinduism, and this is it. I've got nothing. And so these kids, you have to keep in mind, are, and I'll keep it G-rated, are children of working women. Okay, so you don't get much lower than that. And so when we send a group in to that district to care for their children, these children are born in probably not the best of situations, let's say. Okay, and we bring to them the Word of God, you are bringing hope. Okay, so once again, a worthy investment. We see Christ working and preparing lay pastors in the field by sending us to give them the Word. You know, I wrestled with the fact that, as Nick did, is this really worth the money? I mean, can't we just do all these things here? Or maybe send them like an R.C. Sproul DVD? We can't. They have to. We have to go and tell. That is part of us. Should we do it here at home? Yes. Should we do it in India? Yes. We should do both. It's okay to do both. Moving along, we saw him providing more opportunities for Ashish and Krista and Matthew because they are faithfully proclaiming his name. That's why I believe that God is indeed increasing what they do and what they're allowed to be a part of, because they are faithfully ministering to others and faithfully giving out the Word of God. That's the bottom line. And also, I do want to just to let you know, I say worthy investment because he is spreading his fame there. We're not merely up here talking about it. He is right now, he is actively working right now in India, spreading his fame. So once again, please feel rest assured that yes, this is a worthy investment. And the verse I've got for that, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. The word of the Lord, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust a faithful man who will be able to teach others also. A quick reminder that this work is not our own, not mine, not yours, but the Lord's. We were in one of those situations where Ashish was kind of going back and forth, and I thought, you know, me being wanting to direct the conversation, stay on point here. I'm just kind of that way. Stay on point. It wasn't on point. And so I was about to pull it back in, and the Lord said, Stephen, this is not yours. This is my work. I will do it my way. Step back. Allow me to do my job. And that was it. And so just a reminder to me that indeed this is his work. So third thing, and I'll move along quickly here, idols. Shannon touched on it. Hindus have supposedly 300 million gods, but you know, after a million, how many really do you need? So there's a point to their false gods, because just like the Indians, we also have our own false gods here. Idols are not separate to the Hindu faith. We worship money, our prominence, our food, our free time. That's a big one for me. But we all have our own idols. They're just gone. You know, they just kind of go by different names. Okay. And so let's not. One big, I guess, truth that kind of I kind of went away with from India was, if we ever want to reach anybody for Christ, whether it be here, there, anywhere, they are not less than us. We are the same. God created us both. Okay, and we cannot, if we surely want to lose people, act like we're better than they are. They're gone. Because I know it would be. And so when I talk about the Hindu faith, those things are very odd to us. The fact that they have, you know, cows in the middle of the road that people just drive around. The fact that I just can't take that monkey out right now. All right. The fact that they have these idols hanging on their rearview mirrors. The fact that they have statues in their houses. Those are all very foreign to us. But nonetheless, we do have idols. As you know, we often hear our hearts are idol makers constantly. So we are indeed not better than they are. So once again, they just it's just more out in the open there than here. And so the verse I've got for that is Habakkuk 2:8. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it? A metal image, a teacher of lies, for its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. So seeing all those the idols, both in their culture, also we went to a Buddhist temple, it's very eerie. It's very unsettling when I see those things. But for me personally, God willing, that I'll be just as unsettled when I see my own idols. God willing that each of us will be as unsettled when we see those idols and they make us just as uncomfortable as it was for me being in a Buddhist temple. So, number four, the fields are ready. They are. They're there. We saw the work, the hand of God. Oh, you couldn't escape it. And so why do I say that? Because, one, God reminded me that I don't have to feel a certain way to know that the Lord is with me. I know that often we're in a touchy-feely kind of culture. I feel this, you feel that, all is filled together. But the bottom line is, if we're a believer, God is with us. And going with that same thing, He just wants us to be available. It's not about what you know, what you don't know. It's not about how smart you are. Or now, do I believe that we should be prepared? Absolutely. Grounded in the Word? Absolutely. But, like Nick taught on obedience this morning, we are to be available. And that's the bottom line. Are we available? Are we available to go next door? Are we available to go do whatever He's calling us to do? So, my verse for that is Matthew 9:37-38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest, for it is His harvest." And the last thing, and I'll close, making disciples. I want to camp here just for real quick for a second. This is obviously the Great Commission, whether I go next door or whether I go to India. It doesn't matter. All right, the Great Commission, to tell others about Him. What I do want to just share with you is I didn't have a, not that I've got it covered now, but I've got a little bit more of an idea of why that's so important, because you heard Shannon talk about the red light district, how terrible it is, their physical conditions, how terrible those things are. All these things are terrible indeed. But the only way lasting change will come to that country is through Christ, period. There's no way of circumventing Him. You cannot go around Him. You cannot go over, under. You must go through. And so how do I know? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And so without Christ doing and going and us being available to Him to go over, to teach, and then the lay pastors to then go out, these big grandiose ideas of what our money will buy is it's quite small. So, why do I say that? Because, once again, I do believe that the worthy investment of investing in the Word of God, sending people there, having boots on the ground, the people there doing the work is quite worthy. That's the only way the attitudes are going to change, period. Real quick about the Word of God and the men that we were there and a couple of women. The thing that really I took away from that is, like if I wanted to, I could dance, I could do this, I could do that, I could come up with a great visual aid up here or do whatever. But there, let me tell you what they were doing. They weren't looking for a performance from me, from Nick, from Steve. They were looking for the Word of God. How do I know that? Because when I saw them writing down, they were writing down verses of Scripture. Not what I was saying. They were writing down verses of Scripture. That's why they were there. Okay? And so when I when I come away with that and talk about making disciples, they are ready to do that now. And so, you know, as a church body moving forward, God willing, I'd go back tomorrow. Shannon would go back tomorrow. Because we see, indeed, God doing what He has promised He will do to those who yield to Him, spread His word through His word and through others. And so that's what's going on there. And by the way, this is a side note, but God also reminded me that He's not in the business of taking suggestions. And so when He brings up Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, which is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is not a pretty please. That is a, we need to go. And we need to make disciples. And so I'll leave you with this. Obviously, I just said I would go back. I see the benefits there. But me going forward, talking to you as a friend, as a family member of the church, we were not alone. And if you ever have a question about should you go to, you know, to your neighbor, to India, to wherever you feel like God's leading you to go, I strongly encourage you to go because you are not alone. You look around. Everybody in this room is with you. And more importantly, Christ Himself has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us even to the end of the age. So know that when we go, we don't go alone. We go with Christ. So God bless you and thank you.
I know you're all looking at the time and looking, and I'm just getting up here. Do not be worried. Because I had a list of different things I kind of wanted to talk about. And I started at the very beginning. Each time I kind of heard different things being talked about, I'd cross them out. And it's very small. Okay? But a lot of it I'm not even probably going to even go from my list. So we'll just go from there. I am hearing feedback, so I'll just put it back here. It just so happened that I was having my Bible study, going through the Bible in a year, and this is kind of what I read. Transformation of Society. Martin Luther King Jr. lived and died to see society transformed. In 1964, he became the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Peace Prize for his work to end social segregation and discrimination. In one of the greatest and most quoted speeches of all time, he spoke of his dream of one day living in a nation where his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He spoke of his dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. He dreamt of a time when everyone would be able to join hands and say, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Martin Luther Jr. was a follower of Jesus. His agenda was the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what we're doing with India. And it even continues even today. We are trying to transform a society, a people. You may be thinking, well, how does what Martin Luther says have to do with India? Well, they are slaves to an agenda over there. They're enslaved by a society that tells them that they're not worth anything. Generation after generation, this has been carried on and on. And the only way, just like Steve and others have shared, that it is going to be changed is through Christ. And how can that happen unless somebody goes? And so I want to thank you for your prayers, for the money that you have given to send us. I was one of the group of seven that went 4 years ago in 2010. And a lot has changed in just these 4 years in the work of Ashish and Kristen Matthew. And it all be and ends with Christ, but it also is with prayer. There's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens when you go over and do a mission trip like this, not just here, but even to Guatemala. So you know, there it almost got to a point with stuff that was going on in my life around the time of planning this trip and everything, then I almost gave in because the enemy does not want his Christ's name to be glorified in India or anywhere else. But through prayer, God helped me to be able to go. When I came back from India, yes, 4 years ago, we all got sick. It was hard. It was a hard trip. And but you'd be amazed. There were a couple of us who immediately wanted to go back. I think of Harry Davis. I wish he was here with us. But it took four long years for us to finally to go. But I'm glad that I went. I'm glad we went. I thank my brothers and sisters who went with me. And it's important that we continue to go back. And as Harry has been called to be the one kind of to spearhead going to Guatemala, I feel the Lord leading me to India. So I mean, I'm committing that I'm going to go back to India every single year. I pray that others would join me. It sounds like I have three already who want to go back with me. So be praying about it. This isn't like Guatemala where a large group can go. As you can see, it can't handle 26 people going. Probably 6 to 8 people. So please be praying because probably starting in July or August, I'm already going to be starting preparing for the next trip. Again, speaking about prayer, please be praying for the Guatemala team that is about to leave. It doesn't matter where you go to share the fame of Christ. There's going to be spiritual warfare, and there's going to be the enemy is going to be fighting against it at all cost. I did want to share a little bit about the church planters. When we were there 4 years ago in one of the little villages we were at, we were able to sit down with a group. I believe they were six. It was a small group, and I remember talking to them and sharing just how Christ started his whole ministry with only 12, and look how it is now. God's fame is continually spreading all over this world. And I was excited to hear that 30 of them were going to be coming to, just the men, 30 of them coming to hear what God has to share through us. I learned through Matthew that that wasn't even any of his lay pastors. That was all Ashish's lay pastors. So I would love to have it to where we can bring Matthew's group together as well. So that was really exciting. There was a time when we talked about them being very attentive. Also, they had good questions. I was really excited and encouraged to see going over there. We were told that, well, talk to them like you were talking to children because that's all they would be able to grasp. Yes, there were some new believers there, but there were some really mature believers over there. There was a time we made the mistake and we asked, does anybody have any questions in the Bible that we can answer for you? And they were some good questions that we had to go back and we had to find out the answer and come back the next day and be able to answer. So there's some maturity going there, you know, there as well. God's word is definitely making a big change there. One thing that I want to share also having to do with their prayer requests, one of the places we went to was Cooch Behar, and talking with Matthew, he said that is one of the strongest holds that the enemy has in the whole West Bengali territory. For some reason, they just cannot reach very many people in that area. So please be praying for Cooch Behar. I know it's kind of a funny-sounded name, but that's what it's called. Before I go, another thing that really meant a lot to me was their worship time. When we went to their church, the church entered us in with music. We could hear when we went 4 years ago, it was just a big open field and just this little thing right in the middle, and now the neighborhood is all around it. And as we were walking up to the school, this is what we heard. Let me try and slide this back here. The Wi-Fi is not... come on. And I love hearing that. Another song that we sang, which... There's a lot more of that. It's the internet cutout. But they are praising the same God we do. And it's just amazing to see the work that's going on in India. I thank God that we were able to take part of it this time. I'm glad that I went back. I'm glad I didn't fall into fear. And I'm hoping that this time that you hear all the good reports, that your fears, which I'm sure were there when we left, that yes, I shouldn't be blind. There are still dangerous situations that are going on there, and but yet sacrifices have to be made. Many people, Martin Luther, Jesus Christ, all the disciples, they've sacrificed even to death, and any. You can go outside the church right today and the Lord may call you. So I just encourage you to, as Steve shared, it's just not India, it's not Guatemala, it's our everyday life. Please live for Christ. Choose who you're going to live for and be a light for Him. Are you wanting to pray? I could continue on and on, but... I knew that the other three had lots to share, so I had a feeling I wouldn't be saying much. So. It's probably a good idea because I'd be crying anyways. So.
All right, you've been very patient, and I appreciate it. Jennifer's daughter, Katie, has a blog that you can read about what's going on over there. It's so great that we have lunch coming right now. Because so many of you have questions you want to ask them and hear more detail about the Red Light District. And Jennifer would be bursting to share about her daughter. I absolutely... Yes, she's dying to say something, but I'm not going to let her. Let me just bring us to a close just by mentioning a couple things. Do you grasp the enormity of this? Do you grasp the impact that this church is having on the other side of the world? Do you understand what's happening? I mean, this is really profound. This is what Philippians 4 is about, partnership in the gospel. I mean, that what those men taught is now being taught in West Bengal to a primitive church. It's incredible. And if you put money in the offering plate, you're part of it. It's just mind-blowing the way God is using this body. It started years ago when a man named Roscoe Brewer approached me and asked me, I don't know how he asked me, I don't even know if he asked me. For some reason, he just started... politely pestering me about Epic International, the ministry they had, and I was just sucked into the vortex that is Roscoe Brewer. And so, you've heard his name in passing today, and, you know, his daughter and son-in-law are here today, Phil and Jana Disney. Phil's spoken for us several times. And I mean, my goodness, his vision is being fulfilled. It's just an amazing thing. Let me finish speaking on behalf of the elder board, that by God's grace, we are able to send the funds from various accounts to help Ashish begin his house, and begin it immediately. There's some need to have it there quickly because the raining season is coming, and so by God's grace, as a church family, we're going to help with phase one. We would like to help phase two, which is purchase the plot of land that they want to build on. But we want to give you as a church family the opportunity to participate. The first phase is about $10,000 that the church is committing itself to and has funds to go forward with. The second phase we need your help with. The total is about $20,000. We don't have a timeline, but we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider investing in this plot of land in India. We'll have more details in weeks to come for sure. So begin to pray about that. Father, thank you. Thank you for Roscoe Brewer and the way you use this man in my life and in the life of this church family. Thank you for how you have brought us along this path 4 years ago when we took our first trip, for sustaining us through that, for some of us, miserable adventure, for raising up the desire in Steve to return. Thank you for using this team to accomplish your purpose in Siliguri. Thank you for using us as an entire church family, Heavenly Father, to fund and prayerfully support them. Thank you for providing the funds to help us fund Ashish's home. And Lord, please from among us raise this $20,000 that we would like to use to purchase the land so the school can expand, so that your kingdom can expand further in Siliguri. Use this meal not only to nourish us, but use the conversations around the table to nourish our souls. As we feast on the great food prepared, may we feast on your great goodness and what you've done in Siliguri through us. All this we pray through Christ. Amen. Thank you again for your patience and your